In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a beautiful wisdom in the mind and life of Holy Mother Church in these Sundays after Pentecost, where she teaches and admonishes us as to how we are to live our lives in response to the great mysteries we have celebrated. In truth, from Easter Sunday to the Lord's glorious ascension, to Pentecost, to Corpus Christi, to Sacred Heart, to the Most Holy Trinity, the Church provides us in those weeks, really months, an opportunity to deeply enter into the mysteries of God as He chose to reveal them to us. And now she says to us, listen and pay heed. This is the manner as to how you respond to what God has shown you, how it is you must live your life. Focusing on various virtues, and today the virtue of gratitude, and recognizing the need to return to the Lord and to give thanks for what it is that He has bestowed upon us. It is often easy, I believe, at times to take for granted the manifold blessings that God bestows upon us, and only realize the need to return to God when we need to ask Him again for something else. The Lord hears our prayers, grants them according to His will and His divine providence. We accept whatever it is that He bestows upon us, and we go on our way. And then we find ourselves in some type of need, some type of straits, and we need God's intervention. We call upon the Lord, and we ask Him, pleading with Him, to come to us and hear our prayers. And indeed He does, again, granting them according to His will and His providence. And once we have received that which we need, not always that which we want, but certainly that which we need, again, we go about our business as if somehow God had nothing to do with that which has been bestowed upon us. Or maybe oftentimes our lives indeed seemingly are beset by a series of difficulties that we're constantly striving to overcome. And we resent the fact that God bestows all of these pressures upon us. And we ask, Lord, where are you and what it is that He wants us to do with all of this? And maybe it might even lead us to doubt. And that doubt leads us to a blindness of God's graces in our lives. St. Ignatius of Loyola, in the particular examen, exhorts us both at noon and then the evening before we retire to do an examination of our lives, an examination of our day up to that moment, whether it be at noon or before we retire in the evening. One of the things that he asks us to do is to strive to come to a deeper awareness of God's intervention in our daily lives. God is active. God is real. God is true. God intervenes. God works with us. God bestows graces upon us, both sacramental and natural graces. And as a consequence, we must not only make ourselves disponible to those graces, but the manner in which we live our lives. We must also open our hearts, our eyes, to see those graces and to give thanks to God for what it is that He bestows upon us. For Ignatius, this was particularly significant because he also enjoined always to store up consolation for time of desolation. That in those moments where there is struggle and difficulty, we might be tempted to turn away from God. But if we have remembered, recalled, and stored up all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, when we feel their absence, although it may only be a feeling, regardless, our tendency will not be to walk away from God or to turn inward. Rather, our tendency will be to remember all that God has done for me, God indeed will do again, as He sees fit, according to, again, His providence and His design. That requires from us, brothers and sisters, a spirit of gratitude, a disposition of constant thanksgiving. Of course, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is the greatest act of thanksgiving, a gift returned to the Father through the Son, because it is by the Son that we have received new and everlasting life. But to then live a Eucharistic life requires that what happens to us at Holy Mass and the living God whom we receive at Holy Mass must then animate every aspect of our existences. Throughout my day, then, I must give thanks to God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon me. And if I can find none, or I can see none, or I can't access them, then I must open my heart and ask God to remove blindness and hardness of heart from me, that I might truly see God working in me and in the world and around me. And then, like this leper, I return to the Lord, I bow down before him, I kiss his feet in homage, and give him thanks. Because, brothers and sisters, whatever little God bestows upon us, and of course, it's never little, but however we might perceive it to be, it is always better than anything that we ourselves may conjure up, and certainly better than anything the world might bestow upon us. We must always keep this in mind. Because that disposition of gratitude then allows us to more easily embrace the virtue of Christian joy. Not a happiness that blinds us to the difficulties of the world, but a true, authentic joy whereby we are truly in union with the Lord and our deepest desire is achieved precisely because that is what we are built for, to be in union, in relationship with God. And we know to derive peace and joy by being in relationship with him. And then whatever hardships we are asked to endure, we are able to endure them with joy and peace and confidence in the Lord. If it sounds a little bit too Pollyannish for you, if it seems to not be real enough, or it lacks, if you will, the hard message that oftentimes I give, then first I apologize for speaking only those things that are hard and difficult. But then I also exhort you to realize that if indeed that is all you hear, is that it really can't happen and it really doesn't matter and none of this really plays itself out, then this is not the place for you. And this altar of sacrifice is not where you should present yourself. Because this place and this altar of sacrifice to which you will soon approach is for those who believe in the concrete, real intervention of God on a daily basis in their lives. Whether we always correspond to that, whether we always truly live it, we still must believe it and strive as assiduously as we possibly can to conform every aspect of our existence to this life of gratitude and thanksgiving for God's ongoing work in our lives that leads us to profess in joy our confidence in him. God never promised us, brothers and sisters, that this would be easy. Quite the opposite is true. He embraced the cross to make it very clear to us the price that must be paid in this relationship into which we are drawn by our Eucharistic Lord. Nothing short than shedding your blood and giving your body. Whether that is required of you materially may or may not happen given the nature of the world in which we live. But we certainly know this, it is required of us spiritually to die to ourselves in order that Christ might live in us and we might share in the glories of his resurrection. And again, this is not, if you will, a matter of opinion or something that we might ruminate and then decide to reject. It is the very foundation of our life in faith. If you do not accept this, if you're not striving to live it, then you simply should not be here or in the wrong place. This is a place for sinners, true. It is a place for those who struggle and oftentimes maybe fail, but it also is a place for those who can, like the Samaritan, return again and again, recognizing the power of God's grace, give thanks to him for his intervention, and then go live lives of joy. Let us rejoice, and let us pray to be like the foreigner, those who do not know but truly understand, and recognize the power of God in our lives. Let us give him thanks for all that he has bestowed upon us. And then let us live our lives, every moment of our lives, with great confidence and joy in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.